Welcome, dolls, to the So My Mom's a Therapist podcast. Each week, along with friends and colleagues, I'm going to be tackling topics from single, dating, relationships, and breakups and divorce, and everything in between. So won't you join us as if we're sitting on this couch in my office together and we're chatting and figuring out life, because life can be hard to figure out at times. A great way you can support this podcast is by going and rate, review, and subscribing. And it only takes a few minutes, and that allows us to reach more people as we go. So thank you for joining us on this journey. We're so grateful you're here. Well, welcome back, dolls. I am so excited to be with you again. I mean, when I talk and when I do these, I really just imagine you being in here, maybe not laying on the couch, but being in these chairs with me and just sitting and us having a coffee and talking about life and trying to figure out. And today, one of the things I want to talk about is one of the pieces when we're looking at dating and relationships, even if you're married or in a relationship, this is still an important piece, because one of the pieces that causes our bodies to not sit very comfortable in relationship is when they're confused. We'll never use that word, but I want to explain it today. And I think you're going to come along on this journey with me. And my hope is that you're going to be like, oh my gosh, yes, this is what my brain's trying to figure out. I would never have named it that, but it's why I'm looking and saying, what's not working here? Why is this not working? Is this me? Am I the problem? I love that TikTok. Is it me? Am I the issue? Am I the problem, or is this you? And so our brain's trying to figure out, is this a you issue or is this a me issue? And we're going to look at it a little differently. And I think this is going to be really helpful. And if you listen to this and you find that there are parts in here that you have more questions on, message me. You can DM me on Instagram, same name, So My Mom's a Therapist. You can also find me on YouTube. You can comment on the video there. If you have follow-up questions, I really want to build on different topics that we're talking about. So we're going to head right into this. First, we're going to look and say, what is dysregulating to our body in dating and relationships, especially in that initial phase? I like to use the analogy of like a freeway. When you're getting into a relationship, you need an on-ramp getting in. A lot of times, we don't want that. We want the Autobahn. We want to go from like 0 to 100 or 0 to 200. Like, everybody wants to skip the on-ramp. They don't like the on-ramp because that's where it has to like build speed, get traction in order to get on the freeway. So some people are like, I'm not getting on the freeway at all. We're not getting into a relationship. Nope, zero. And then others are like, I don't want to be in a relationship, or I don't want to date. I hate dating. So let's just lock down. Let's just get off this app, you and I. And let's jump on the freeway. The problem is you don't know who you're jumping on the freeway with. So we're trying to avoid the on-ramp. I would rather help you, and this is what we're doing here. I want to help you be more comfortable in your body getting on that on-ramp. Again, the on-ramp is that initial parts of dating. How do we build the traction from the first dates to liking to each other, to building, to picking up speed, so that it has a natural on-ramp getting onto the freeway. And it's not jarring to your body. It's not like, boom, you know, Mach speed. Oh, face plum, squish back, you know, because all of a sudden we just like hit like massive speed going from 0 to 100. So let me explain first of all, we're going to start with understanding what goes on in our body, what confusion does inside of our nervous system. We're going to start there. We're going to be looking at two of the reasons that our body gets dysregulated, what really causes that confusion in our body. And then we're going to end with, okay, what are some things we can do? That's always my favorite part. If you guys are listening to things, it's helpful to have an understanding, but you need people to put tools in your hand. We've got to have tools in our hands so that we have something to try. When I do, I'm part of a small nonprofit. And before COVID, we would go into third world countries, Africa, India, Nicaragua. We would go in and we would do trainings for different agencies. And in India, we work with taking girls out of sex trafficking. In Africa, we were working at the refugee camps. And our goal going in was not only to educate the workers, but to put tools in their hands. Because when we have something to try in our hands, we are hopeful. In work, this is why I do trainings a lot. But if we have in life, in relationships, in work, right, in all parts of our life, if we have a tool of something new we can try, think about it. That actually gives us hope. Why? Because if I have something new I can try, then I'm hopeful that something may change. Hope is not actually about what it gives you in the future. Hope is not actually if it comes to fruition. Hope is about what it gives you in the moment, which is it may not always look the way it does now. And that's movement. Hope gives us movement. Movement is what keeps us hopeful. On the converse of that, if I have nothing to try, nothing new, right, then I feel hopeless. I feel like I'm always stuck. It's always going to look like that. This, notice no movement there. No movement, hopeless, no tools. That's what causes depression. That's what makes our mood sink. So part of it is, I love this phrase, and I so mean it when I say it to you guys. Sometimes I sit with these little dolls and they just can't grasp hope. And I will say, you borrow my hope. And I mean it. It always gets me choked up when I say it. I'm like, you borrow my hope. It will not always look like this. I promise. Especially when I'm working with teenagers. Little side note, but one of the reasons I'm so passionate is that teenagers were really tough for me. And I honestly did not think I'd live to see 21. We were quite destructive. And so I know what it feels like to be in that place where it just feels like it's not getting any better. It's always going to look like this. I can't see through the fog. The fog is too thick. And part of my job as a therapist is to say, no, doll, you borrow my hope. You borrow my hope. As long as you need to, you borrow my hope that it will not always look like this. And I'm confident of that. And I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. So I got a little on a tangent, but I feel like maybe somebody needed to hear that today. If you need to borrow my hope, it's there for you. All right, so let's go on. What goes on in our body? You know, you hear me talk about the zone a lot. If you haven't, go back and watch a few episodes back. I explained the zone. The zone's talking about your nervous system. Your nervous system is in a parasympathetic state. That means that it's at a rest state. Even if you get stressed, it feels manageable. If you get bummed, it gets manageable. But it's all within this zone. This is the trauma resiliency model, which I'm certified in. It is this sense of like, I can still manage it. And that's in your zone, right? What gets bumped out of, when we get bumped out of our zone, there will be different triggers. And if we get bumped out of our zone, that's when our sympathetic nervous system comes in, and it is a survival mechanism. And although we don't like it, and oftentimes we don't like things that we do outside of our zone, because those are survival, fight, flight, freeze, befriend, those are all there, and we don't like it, but be very gentle on yourself, because when you get bumped out of your zone, that's your body trying to protect you. The whole purpose of your brain and body is to keep you safe. It's doing its best, which is one of the reasons I'm like, go easy on yourself. It's not trying to hurt you. When you go off or you send a text or you do something and you're like, ugh, you know, I have to, full disclosure, I did this week. I did this. I sent a text. I didn't like the way it sounded. I tried to fix it real quickly and just pick up the phone and say, hey, let's talk about it. And I was not able to do that. I was not able to connect with the person. And I was like, oh, that was just me out of my zone. And it didn't feel super great. And I had to stop and be gracious with myself and say, no, that was you out of your zone. All right, note for next time, what would you do different, right? So we often, when we bump out, we often don't like the way we act, but that's your body trying to keep you safe. So in that dating and relationships, I want you to get, confusion is one of the things that bumps us out of our zone. Now, what do I mean? So that's what's going on in your body. So when your body all of a sudden goes to in your head, like, do they like me? Like, I don't know. Like, I think they like me, or what? Oh my gosh, I don't know what they think about me now. What if there's other people? What if there's other girls involved, right? That's all in your head. That's all getting bumped out of your zone. So whenever our body gets bumped out of its zone, by the way, human nature is often to try to go back and be like, what just happened? I got to figure out, how did I get bumped out of your zone? That can be helpful. But whether you understand why you get bumped out or not, the issue is that I still have to address getting my body back into my zone to begin with, right? Yes, I can understand the root, but whether we understand the root or not, the key is for us to focus on, okay, when I am bumped out, how do I regulate and get myself back in? And again, I did an episode a few back on resourcing and how to shift our nervous system back to a place. One of the reasons why why dating and relationship, where there's so many people that like do not like it. I don't know if that's like, I think that's just a generational thing. Like, I don't know if like our grandparents were like, oh my gosh, I hate dating. Like, I hate dating. I don't think they had that. I don't ever remember my yaya, my grandma, my 98-year-old grandma, like talking about her disdain for dating and courting. I mean, I don't think you heard it, but I think there's so much now because of social media, so many ways other people can talk to people now that there's texts that were now removed. So we don't get the physical cues in front of us all the time. So because of that, it bumps our body out. Now, what are some things that bump us out of our zone? Usually it's based around identity. Do I feel value and worthy? And do I have worth and safety? Is this something that can threaten, not just physical safety, is this something that's threatening to me? Is this something that could really hurt me, right? So those are two of the big areas you're going to get bumped out of your zone, around identity and safety. A lot of what goes on in our life, a lot of our reactions are all rooted in, it trips on a wire of being valued and loved and a wire of being safe. Okay. Side note, when I'm working with people on growing this internal parent inside of them, those are the two qualities that I'm looking to cultivate and grow. All right. So let's talk about why does the body get so dysregulated and why do I keep talking about this word confusion, right? We won't name it that, but this is why in the beginning of dating and relationships, you'll see a lot of confusion because confusion comes in when we see the first one's inconsistency. So when we see an inconsistent behavior, so what do I mean by inconsistency? Well, I use the tennis game a lot of the time. And I always say in a relationship, it should be kind of a tennis game going back and forth, right? And all of a sudden, if we have a way that we're texting or snapping, snap, 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 and all of a sudden they go MIA. They may go MIA for 3 hours. Now, other people may be like, that's ridiculous. It's 3 hours. They have a life. But what they don't understand is if you have been in this rhythm of this tennis game, and then all of a sudden the tennis game stops and the ball doesn't come back over. And your body's like, where's the ball? Why didn't it come back over? And all of a sudden, like, then you bump out of your zone. That's what happens. We bump out of our zone. We get in our head and we're trying to figure out what happened. Confusion comes in when there is an unknown. For instance, if you had known, oh, hey, just to let you know, my mom just picked me up. We're going to go for lunch. You know, I'll call you in a few hours. Your whole body would be like, oh, I know. Interesting enough, our body would rather know bad news than no news. Unknown is what bumps us out of our zone. What's unknown has the potential for threat. If it's bad news or good news, then I can like wrap my hand around it, I can grasp it, and then my body goes, okay, I know what to do, and I can set to work on what to do. But if I don't know anything, our brain pops up and it scans the earth. I'll use this term with my clients all the time. I'll say, oh, you're scanning the earth. Your brain literally like ping pongs back and forth, like ping, 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 like shoots back and forth, scans the earth, trying to come up with some kind of reason as to why they disappeared so that your body goes, oh, okay, body, false alarm, we're good. This is what happened. So it scans the earth trying to make sense of something. So one of the reasons that it gets bumped out of its zone is inconsistency in communication. It doesn't matter if it's a fast game, like fast tennis game, like you guys are shooting texts back and forth, or if it's a slow, whatever it is, it's consistency that's the key. And it's inconsistency that throws us. So if it's a game going like this, and all of a sudden there's no ball, or it's just a little ball back, your body's like, what just happened? What just happened? You changed the game, right? So recognizing that that is there. And one of the reasons this gets tripped in the beginning of a relationship is how you communicate in the beginning of a relationship rarely can be sustained through the whole relationship. All that excitement, that honeymoon phase, that, oh, I'm so excited, pop, 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 we're shooting little text, snaps, pictures, back and forth, right? That cannot be sustained. And when it starts to slow down a little bit and get into a rhythm, oftentimes your body will be like, oh, I think they're losing interest. I think they're losing interest, right? Because there's been a change in the game. That I want you to have so much grace for your body. I'd say, oh, thank you, body. Thank you for letting me know. Yes, the rhythms change. We're going to watch with our eyes and we're going to see, right? And I'm going to talk about that part in a second. That's the second part of what causes confusion. It's confusing to your body. It's confusing because a rhythm has changed. It's confusing because it's inconsistency. And we want to start naming that. So it's not you and it's not me. Am I the problem? Are you the problem? I'm moving it away from identity and person to it's confusing. Okay. It's confusing because the rhythm has changed and our body's trying to figure out. Now, another part to understanding your brain, that middle part of your brain, the amygdala, is what bumps you out of your zone. That's what puts you on alert. That's what puts you trying to figure things out, scanning the earth. Is this you? Is this me? That middle part of your brain, the amygdala, it actually sniffs out potential threat. And the key word is potential, right? That's why we got to be so easy on ourselves. It picked up on something. It's not off. It picked up on something. Side note, if you have a big trauma history, you will have a very active amygdala, which means it'll pick up on things a lot of other people cannot pick up on, right? For instance, if you had a mom who was a borderline personality or had a personality disorder, what I have found is most of their kids have extremely, not in a bad way, but have a hypersensitive amygdala that can pick up on little nuances and things because that's what allowed them to survive. So we want to go easy on these bodies, but your amygdala picked up on something. So if you're in a relationship, a dating relationship, new relationship, and all of a sudden you find yourself like in your head, bumped out of your zone, be like, oh, thank you, amygdala. I recognize you picked up on something. And then it's our job to go in and figure out, is this this potential threat? Is it a real threat? Is it a viable threat? Or you picked up on something, but that's for me to self-regulate. What often happens too when our body gets tripped, and then we'll often go down one of two roads. We'll go down a self-regulating road, or we'll go down a sleuthing or investigating road, right? So when our body gets bumped up, right? So for instance, they stop texting. They all of a sudden, for the afternoon, go MIA. We can either go into a self-regulating mode, or we can go into a sleuthing mode, which is like we go now into the Instagram. We go into the friends of them. We find who knows them and see if they're online and see if they're liking and see if they're posting and seeing if their snap scores are going up. Why? That is the sleuthing. We're trying to gather more information to figure out what's going on. Believe it or not, the sleuthing will rarely make you feel better. Think about it. Whenever you go hunting, investigating, and you all know we're all investigators now. Everybody thinks they can do a deep dive. Everybody thinks they can do a deep dive. You can. However, you need to stop and ask yourself, is the deep dive making me feel better? Or is it making me feel like I'm going more fucking crazy? Ask yourself that. Okay. So back to point. So we're gonna get more into what we do. But notice that two roads, when we get tripped, it'll go down those. And that inconsistency is what bumps it out. The other part that's confusing to our body, inconsistency is the first one, right? The communication has changed. And it, by the way, it's not a bad thing. We're not blaming them. You change the communication. No. That's going to happen in life. Things happen. We have a bad day. We have a crisis. We do. We may get to know somebody and our feelings may change. That's okay. That is part of dating. When you date, by the way, both people sign on the dotted line. They assume it'll work out and they also assume the risk it may not. There is no guarantees in dating, right? And if you try to foolproof it to guarantee it will only work out and you won't get hurt, that does not work because you cannot do that. And you will actually end up putting yourself in a position that it's more likely to fail if you try to foolproof it. In actuality, we want to shift our perspective so that we are focused instead on, okay, this may work out, it may not. And if it doesn't, I will deal with that when I get there. I'm not on that road. But if I get knocked down, I know it's going to take a little bit. I'm going to get my friends around me. I'm going to get my support system around me and I'm going to have to dust myself off. And they may need to hold me up for a little bit until I get back up and I start walking. The key is, do you believe that you can get back up? Do you believe you will be okay even if you get hurt? That is worth doing some work around. All right, back to the confusion. The second part about the confusion is when their words and actions do not match. This one, by the way, is a mind fuck. Excuse my language. Not really, but that's what it is. Because if you've ever been in a relationship where their words do not match their actions, it makes you feel like you are going crazy. They will say all the right words to you. They will say it, and they won't say it in a way that your body's like, yeah, I call bullshit. They don't say it that way, by the way. It's slow. It's methodical. Now, we're not demonizing them. I'm not blaming them. I'm not saying they're a bad person. They're doing what works for them. I actually just did a TikTok video that says, what is the opinion you have that would be very triggering to some people? And I said, if you're in a toxic relationship, that's actually on you, not on them, right? In order to be with somebody who is feeding you these lines or doing the emotion, giving you the words you want to hear, you have to allow it. You have to allow it. It is not about them. It is not about attracting that kind of person. It doesn't matter who you attract as long as you have healthy boundaries up, right? And you're gracious with yourself and you're learning as you go. Oh, there it is. Now I spot it. Okay, note for next time. Here's what I would do different. When somebody has all the words, I want a relationship. I want you as my partner, right? And they can lay those words down and your heart gets attached to that. And you've had conversations with them and they're saying those things that your body want to hear. Your body wants to hear. And you're thinking, oh, this is everything I want. And they may trickle in some actions, but then they do these actions that do not match. For instance, let's say you're in a situation where they're saying, I want you as my partner. I want you as my girlfriend. I want you as my boyfriend. Like, I want this. This is what I've been looking for, right? And yet you're seeing like, you're not part of my life at all. And even when I try to come in and share with you part of my life, somehow you just seem to be busy. I mean, you show up when it's stuff that would be fun for you. I mean, you show up when you're like, oh, yeah. Baseball game, I'm in, right? But all of a sudden, hey, you know, I'm having a hard time here, or hey, can you help me with this? And all of a sudden, when it means like the life stuff, all of a sudden, they're not there. And so one of the things I always teach my clients is watch with your eyes. Do their actions match their words? Again, that's the confusion. That's the confusion, is when the actions don't match. And your brain goes, but they said this. This is what they want. This is what we're trying to get. So they say these words, I want a relationship. My brain puts a picture with that of what I think a relationship is, thinking, okay, we want the same things. They've said this is what they want. My brain has a picture of what this looks like. And I start to move forward thinking we're both going to fall in line and we're going to go up this on ramp and we're going to start revving up speed and we're going to get into this relationship. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, wait, this... the this is confusing. It's confusing. That's what doesn't feel good in your body. And you may even go back to them and you may complain, or you may be frustrated, or you may be hurt. You're hurt and frustrated because their actions don't match their words, right? And so why, this is why we date. By the way, side note, lots of side notes today. Lots of side notes today. If you're sleeping with them, it's really, really hard to see. If you're sleeping with them and they've got all the right words and they have the physical touch and the chemistry's there and they're sweet and they're kind, and yes, that can be there. All of that can be there. It's really hard because your body thinks we're going into a relationship and this is all here and it's all what I want. And yet all of a sudden then there's like some, like, it's almost like you're starting to rev up speed and then somebody puts on the parking brake and your body's like, huh, like it's like throws itself forward. I'm just full of noises today. There's like ping, 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 like all these noises. Total tangent. My kids refuse to eat In-N-Out burgers with me. I like have like one or two a year. Like that's like my thing. I don't know why. I mean, I love hamburgers, but for some reason I'm like, no, In-N-Out burgers only once or twice a year. I go through all the time, like once a week and get French fries and Diet Coke. But when I get the actual burger, my children will not eat with me because I literally make noises. I'm like, oh, this is so good. And they're like, you're so gross. Do not eat the hamburger. Is there anybody who's like very sound oriented? I feel like there's a lot of sounds, more than words. I got a lot of sounds coming out of my mouth. Ping, ping, ping. Like I feel like I'm very sound oriented. Anyways. Tangent. Okay. So when that happens, that is very unnerving to our body. When I'm like, my body thinks it's getting on this on-ramp. It thinks it's building up to this relationship. The feels are there. The words are there. And then yet, as we go forward, some of the actions do not match. And again, that bumps us out of our zone. And when our body bumps out of its zone, we bump into our head. We try problem solving. We're trying to figure this out. Again, is this you? Is this me? What's going on here? And so it's trying to get answers. And again, it feels like an unknown. Remember, your body does not pick up on nothing. It picks up on something. It's just our responsibility to figure out if it's a potential, if it's a true threat or just a false alarm, a small threat. But it did pick up on something, that amygdala. Okay, now what do we do? Last part. So we have an understanding of what's going on in our nervous system, right? By the way, when we are bumped out of our zone, before you have a conversation, you want to be able to regulate yourself, get back in your zone. I know I throw that out there like it's easy. I've done a whole thing on how to regulate your body and shift your nervous system down. And then you can lean back in and have those conversations. We've talked about what causes that confusion in our body. Again, it's not, we're not blaming you or me. We're just simply saying, oh, this is confusing. And it's here's why. Inconsistency in our communication or how we've hung out, right? That timing of things, if that changes, inconsistency in words and action, them not matching, there's not a congruency there, that again causes that confusion in our body and sends us into a state of trying to figure out what's going on and why this isn't working. I often will have clients pause and say, wait, what would they do? Imagine something, play out like a movie. What would you want them to do? What would you want them to do? And they'll be like, oh, well, I just want them to like reach out and be like, hey, how are you doing? Hey, can I see you this Friday? I'm like, okay, play that out like a movie. Play it out like a movie. Imagine it. I'll have them close their eyes or open them, play it out like a movie. And every single time, invariably, they'll all take a deep breath and they'll go, and I'm like, did you feel that? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, that's what your body wants. And they're like, yeah. If I got that, my body would be like, okay, we're actually okay here, right? We're good. So, your body knows what it wants. When it can't get it is when it gets stuck, and that's the confusion. And then it sets to work trying to figure out how to problem solve, how to troubleshoot. So now we're going to go to how do you troubleshoot? We can't make them magically do what our brain wants them to do. Reach out and be like, hey, can I see you this Friday? Hey, how you doing? Oh, hey, can I help you unpack those boxes, right? So like our body, like we're not going to be able to magically get that perfect person that can read our mind. So here's the last part and the key part. What do we do? Okay. There's two things that we can do here. When we hit inconsistency, when we hit that confusion, we need to be able to communicate. Now, first off, dolls, you got to abandon the idea of being the cool girl or the cool guy. I see this more with girls than guys, but we'll go with both, right? Where I have, like, I don't want to be that person. Like, I don't want to say anything. But sweets, if you don't say anything, it will leak out passively and it will come out in your tone. It will come out in your attitude. It'll come out in your body language. Right? It will leak out. We actually are going to, we are going to take care of ourselves better, and you have a better chance of the relationship working out if we fight against this idea of being that cool girl and simply saying, how do I start to communicate? How do I start to, I had a teenage gal, just a doll. I had her in my office and she's in this kind of this place in the beginning. And I almost encourage her. I'm like, as much as you can, you might as well push who you really are forward. You might as well push who you really are instead of being like, gosh, like, okay, well, in between now and next time I see him, I just hope he still keeps feelings for me. And I'm like, well, I want to be like, fuck that. You might as well get a good picture of who I am, because I can't keep this up and I can't keep putting on an image. I might as well be like, hey, this is me. This is me. You might as well figure out if you like me now or not, you know, instead of like holding our breath, waiting for them to figure out who I am and then decide if they want me or don't want me. So I'm always constant. Again, it's a longer journey with teenagers, but really working on being like, hey, this is who I am. This is who I am. You might as well figure out now, is this for you or not for you? Because I kind of, and here's what goes with it. Because I kind of like me. Not to say I can't compromise and be in a relationship and grow, but I kind of like me. And this is what comes with me. All right. Okay. So how do you communicate when you've hit confusion or inconsistency? Two parts. One, you're going to say something like, help me understand. Help me understand. And you're not blaming or attacking, which is what will leak out. If you're going to be reactive and you will leak out if you do not say, help me understand. And then I name it. Help me understand how we kind of went from talking all the time to like talking very little. Help me understand what's going on here. And I can use that phrase, help me understand, or help me understand. Help me understand why you say you want a relationship, but then you don't show up when it actually is like life stuff. Like help me make sense of that. So I'm not blaming them, but what I'll do is I'll say, help me understand. And then I'll call out the inconsistency. Not you're doing this, you're doing this. Help me understand, because this is confusing to me. And I'll use that word. This is confusing to me. Okay. The other thing I will do is I will do a track back. If this is someone I'm really interested in, I will do a track back. I will do things. And what's a track back? I'll say, you know, like when you like text really consistently and then come Friday and Saturday, you go MIA. Like, let me tell you what goes on in my body. No, I'm not attacking you. And I'll say words like that. No, I'm not attacking you. I'm just letting you know what you can't see. It literally like bumps me out of my zone. Like and I don't think it doesn't feel very good. And I don't think it's ever going to feel good. And so I'll do a track back. I'll take the event, track it back, and tell them what's going on in my body. I can offer a suggestion. I can offer an alternative to say, you know, I think for this to work out, I probably need something really consistent, right? And by the way, I saw a video where a gal came. She was just newly dating. She'd gone on a few dates with him, and she said to the guy, yeah, I don't think this is a good fit for me because, you know, you're not, I'm really looking for something consistent. And he was like, oh, well, I can be consistent. Interesting enough, her response was like, sorry, Jack, bye-bye. And I was like, because she's like, well, why weren't you consistent all the way through? And side note, again, caveat, when you're dating on dating apps, it's a different beast. It's a different beast because you are dating multiple people, right? And you're also not knowing where the other person's standing. So I always like to give a little buffer. What am I looking for? I'm looking for somebody who's willing. Not somebody who is a mind reader, not somebody who goes, oh, you know what? I can tell this girl's really into me, so I need to really lean in and be more consistent, right? I'm looking for a buffer and I'm looking for a willingness to say, oh, okay, if that's where we are, I'm ready to man up. I'm ready to woman up. I can do that. That's where I'm at too. I just kind of didn't know where we were. So I leave a little buffer and I'm looking for willingness. And keep in mind, nobody's a mind reader. So when we communicate about confusion and inconsistency, I want you to try both those phrases. Help me understand. Help me understand, or this is a little confusing for me, and then I name the confusing pieces without attacking them. You know, you say you want a relationship, but then when I say like, hey, I could use help and you don't show up, like help me understand, because that's really confusing in my body, right? Or I'll do a track back. Again, you know, when you do this, let me tell you what goes on in my body, right? So when you go MIA, right, then like I can tell that just bumps me out of my zone. It doesn't feel super great, right? So I can do both of those. The key though, and again, this is true even if you're married and in a relationship, you know, oftentimes if they're saying one thing with their words and their actions don't match, again, what we watch with their eyes, we want to be able to label it as it is. I really stay away from touching on the identity of somebody. Isn't it interesting with relationships? We go right to who the person is as if their value and their worth and them being lovable is at stake based on the relationship. A relationship is different than their value. That's a whole nother thing we can talk about, is that value and that worth. And that's different than being in a relationship. A relationship is about fit. A relationship is, you can have two amazing people that are not a fit. You can say, this doesn't work for me, right? Does this work for me? Does this not work for me? It has nothing to do with who we are as people. So notice when we get triggered and bumped out of our zone, we often go to, is it you or is it me? And blaming a person calls who they are into question. And we're going to shift out of that and saying, no, we're going to leave their value alone. And we're going to stick with this sense of like, is this a fit or not a fit? I don't think that'll work for me. That's one of my favorite lines, is to say, you know what? I'm watching the way we're communicating or the inconsistency. And I might say, help me understand. And ultimately I might say, yeah, you know, I don't think that's a fit for me. I just don't think that would work for me. And it's not tied to who I am, right? So that's what we're talking about today. We're looking at what makes a relationship feel better: communication, consistency, right? Leave space for a real person. Leave space. There's nobody that's a mind reader, right? I always think it's so funny when people act like these relationships or dating disrupts their peace. No shit, it disrupts your peace. It's going to disrupt your peace because you're not the only one in your life anymore. So yes, if you keep yourself cocooned in your nice white wall apartment with green plants and you're like fresh little, like, you know, chia pudding that you, you know, I mean, I've watched so many of these videos of like my peaceful, like, well, let me walk you through my morning. And I'm thinking, oh, that's so zen. I want to go live in your apartment that's all white and there's not a speck of dirt and there's green plants everywhere and you're eating your nice healthy meal and doing your yoga poses. But there's also nobody else in there. There's no life in there. Right? And what does adding life do? It adds an element that you do not have control over. So yes, it is. Why do people do it? Because in being more vulnerable, and you can also can have a partner, you can have somebody that has your back, you can do things together, you can tackle things together, right? And so there is a benefit. Yes, is it going to disrupt your peace? Yes, but it also grows these muscles of how to communicate and work with other people. And yes, that's hard, but that is where we grow. Growing is increasing your ability to tolerate being uncomfortable, and relationships is where that happens. It's where it happens. It's about being with somebody who, when you get bumped out and triggered, you guys learn how to resource and work together and communicate through that. It's not about avoiding getting triggered altogether. Ooh, to all my singles, I want you to hear that. Sometimes we keep ourselves single, not always, but sometimes we keep ourselves single because that way we avoid getting triggered and we think it's a better state. In actuality, we want to be triggered. We want to be triggered in a safe environment that allows us to work through getting bumped out of our zone, regulate ourselves, and get back in and know somebody can look at us in our state out of our zone, bumped out, triggered, and they can look at us and I see all you, and there's space for you in this house, and there's space for you in this relationship just where you are. That is more powerful than always being perfect and controlled. Is to be able to see yourself, see your mess, and be loved. I have to tell you, I have a friend and my best friend, and I am telling you, my best friend in the world does the most impeccable job of this, that in my most messy spots, he will say, I love you. When I feel the most unlovable, and I'm telling you, there is a much more powerful place when you are feeling messy and not great and not all put together and not in your yoga poses and not all zen, and having someone say, I love you just where you are, that goes deep. That sticks with you. I am telling you, I hope you all get to experience that in life, because it touches this deep part of me that just is this unconditional love. And as a parent, that was something I would always do when my kids would lose their shit, which they do as kids all every now and then. And I would say, you know, there's space in this house for you to be like this. There's space in this house for your mad. Now, where you shoot it, where you point it, well, that we can talk about, but there's space for you in this house like this. What that says is, I love you. I love all of you. And you don't always have to be in control or be acting perfect. So, side note. All right, dolls, on that, I am going to wrap up. Please keep sending your voice memos. I'm going to have a second podcast coming out. Again, I've got two coming out each week. One's just going to be answering your voice memos. So keep sending them to SoMyMomsATherapistPodcast@gmail.com. Also, we are growing our Instagram and YouTube. So check out our shorts there as well. Always please rate, review, subscribe. I would also ask if you could send this to a friend. If there's somebody that, as you were listening to this, if somebody came to mind that you think, oh my gosh, like they need to hear this, send it along to them. Why do I say that? One of the reasons I do this is I know I can't see everybody. I know not everybody can afford therapy or has access to therapy. And no, this isn't therapy, but I want to be able to get tools in people's hands. Why? There it is. To give them more hope. So again, borrow my hope if you need to. And with that, I'll sign off. Bye, dolls. Awesome.